Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on February 26th, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
You can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of the show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to do a show like this today. This is Marine Week.
Yeah. It's like our own unofficial Marine Week.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
We're talking about the ocean. And, of course, we want people to call in if they're interested in this this particular topic and interested in talking to the guests or asking questions. And we want to remind people that you can always call in when the show is live. You can call in to 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. If there's something that interests you or if you have a question, please do call in. We love to have callers, don't we, Jackie?
Yes, we do.
So it's a really special location. We have two very interesting marine biology, ocean ethnography kinds of locations in the South Bay, and this one's a little bit out there, isn't it?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Jackie, who is our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Valerie Hill, Administrative Director and Education Specialist for the Roundhouse Aquarium in Manhattan Beach. Valerie began working at the Roundhouse in 2003 as a volunteer. She moved her way up to paid part-time staff and eventually became the co-director in 2007. Valerie handles administration and is the chief grant writer for the aquarium, enabling the staff to teach classes to school children. Valerie studied phytoplankton at California State University, Long Beach, where she earned her master's degree in 2008. Phytoplankton and seaweed remain her favorite topics to teach at the Roundhouse, and she loves sharing her passion for the ocean with students and visitors to the aquarium. Now, the Roundhouse has several upcoming events, and Valerie is going to tell us all about them. Welcome to the program, Valerie. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the time to talk about the Roundhouse.
And I love the picture you sent in to us of you diving under the deep blue. I love that.
Yes, we're very fortunate to get to be able to experience the ocean firsthand like that.
Now, you know, where was that picture taken?
Yeah.
That actually was on a vacation I took to Australia a few years ago. So that picture is actually on the Great Barrier Reef.
Oh, wow.
Wow. You know something? We should do that from now on, Joe. Instead of headshots,
Yeah. We
should have people send us action shots like that.
It was great.
Yeah, I love it.
It's a little bit more fun.
It's up on the Facebook page so people can go see it.
So now the Roundhouse. We're talking about the Roundhouse at the very end of the Manhattan Beach Pier. And it's a fascinating location. I mean, I'm positive that most tourists or people that just, you know, haven't been to Manhattan Beach before, when they get to the end of the pier and they realize there's an aquarium there, they're just blown away by that. And so let's talk a little bit about the history of the Roundhouse. How long has it been there?
Sure. We've been a staple there in Manhattan Beach for quite some time now. It actually started in 1979. Definitely not the way it looks now. We've gone through some iterations to get to where we are today. But it started as a teaching facility, and that's what it remains today. Our goal is to educate the public and educate students about the oceans, marine life, and human impacts on those. So it's always been a teaching facility, but it started with sort of just tubs on the ground with little animals here and there, and now we have our big shark tank and some other kind of fancier tanks and fancier animals nowadays.
Yeah, a quick question. Was that structure originally an aquarium, or was the structure there as something else and then it became an aquarium?
From my understanding, it's been many things before the aquarium. I know it had been a bait house before that. I'm not sure what it was before the bait house, but I know, I think right before the aquarium, it was a bait house.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, yeah, because that's been there for a while. Oh, cool.
Yeah. It's fascinating. And so 1979, it's been an operational aquarium of some kind, but there was a point when I suppose they decided that they're going to upgrade their facilities, because you have some very large tanks there now. How many gallons does your largest tank hold?
Our largest tank is our shark tank. It's about 3,500 gallons, so pretty big, and that's the biggest one we have.
Yeah. I think people are amazed, and you know, children and adults are amazed when they see that the Roundhouse is not just a few buckets with fish in them. It's a serious aquarium with serious marine biology and oceanographic teaching being done there.
Definitely.
Wow, this is amazing. So now your experience, how long have you been with the Roundhouse Aquarium?
I've been there for a pretty long time now. I did start as a volunteer back in 2003 when I was still in college. I was actually going to the University of San Diego at the time, mm-hmm. and I moved up to this area for the summer and needed something marine biology-oriented to do. So I found the Roundhouse, and I fell in love with it that summer. I went back to San Diego, graduated, came back, had no job, no plans, went back into the aquarium and said, find me something to do, and I was fortunate enough to start out part-time, and once you're part of the family there, you really never want to leave. So I stuck through it while I was getting my master's degree doing part-time, and then finally was able to do full-time and become the co-director and help build it up even more.
Fantastic.
You know, Joe, it's so interesting. This we hear this similar story. We just heard it again this Wednesday from our guest that was on Wednesday about C-Lab. She discovered C-Lab and fell in love with it and started volunteering there.
Right.
And eventually got some part-time work and eventually became a full-time employee. And we heard the same story from, the guy over at Manhattan Parks and Rec.
Idris?
No, not Idris, the guy that works with him. Danny, I want to say?
Yeah.
David Ibarra.
David Ibarra.
Remember when we had them on and he was telling us?
Right.
He's been with parks. He grew up playing in the parks.
Right.
He grew up going to the things at the rec center, and he loved it so much. He grew up and he went to work there, and he's been there ever since. I love these stories.
Right. It's
Valerie's the same thing. She found it. She loved it. I love this.
It's like she's a local.
Yeah.
When you think about these facilities, Valerie, I mean, do you have contact with other aquariums, small aquariums and large aquariums, and where does the Roundhouse fit in the sort of the group of aquariums here in Southern California?
We do. We have a great relationship with the local aquariums. We sort of fit in more on the same size level as KC Lab or the Santa Monica Pier Aquarium, but we also have relationships with the Cabrillo Aquarium down in San Pedro, and we even work with the Monterey Aquarium quite a bit, which is, you know, surprising because they're a little bit further away, but they help us out, and we help them out if we have something that they need. The aquarium community is pretty close-knit, so you want to get along with your friends there. We don't see it as a competition. We all have the same mission, which is to show people a glimpse of what's under the ocean and educate them about what they can do to help protect it.
Right.
Valerie, did I say that correctly? Phytoplankton? Was that?
Yes. Phytoplankton, my favorite thing in the whole world.
Okay. Well, we've got to hear about this because I have no idea what phytoplankton is.
Oh, my gosh. Phytoplankton is actually one of the most important things on the entire planet, and it is unfortunate. A lot of people don't know what it is. They're basically teeny tiny plants. They're not really plants. They're actually a type of algae, but they're sort of teeny tiny ones. You need a microscope to see them, and they are the base of the ocean food chain. So without that, we have none of our larger animals, and they're actually the thing that produces the most oxygen on the earth for us to breathe. So a lot of people don't know 80% of the oxygen that we breathe actually comes from ocean algae like phytoplankton, and only 20% comes from land plants like trees. So phytoplankton's pretty big deal.
I had no idea. Did you know this?
Strangely, phytoplankton are a huge deal with people that are really concerned about healthy eating and looking for, you know.
So what you're saying is you did know about this. Okay.
Only in the sense that phytoplankton as a food source are among the most complete food on the planet, because they have not just lots of vitamins, but they also have a full complement of minerals, because the ocean has a full complement of dissolved minerals. And they have a complete lipoprotein profile. It's like the perfect food.
Okay, well, I'm just going to leave you and Valerie to have this conversation. And I'm just going to set it off to the side here. Okay, once again, I'm going to
Especially if you're like a 12-ton whale, and you're eating phytoplankton, you're going to be really healthy.
Valerie, the only thing I can talk about that Joe doesn't know about is the marine biology episode of Seinfeld.
That's right. Do you know about that, Valerie?
Oh, yes, of course. I grew up watching Seinfeld. That is not what made me want to be a marine biologist, but I definitely remember the episode with the golf ball and the blowhole.
Yes.
It's got to be one of the funniest episodes ever. Classic.
Definitely.
There you go.
All right, Joe, you're gonna have to Google that and watch it. Okay.
I'm going to.
All right.
Now we love this facility because in the South Bay, you know, there's so many different things to do. There's so many different activities, but for the school kids to learn about the ocean, this is very, very special. Tell us about the classes that you have at the Roundhouse.
Yeah, our student education program is probably one of our most important programs. We actually educate over 15,000 students a year. We have field trips both to the aquarium, and then we also have an outreach program where we can go to the schools. Of course, we educate the local South Bay kids, but we also get schools from all over the place, from L.A., from La Crescenta, Burbank, down in Orange County. We really try and teach as many students as possible. And we've been pretty fortunate in the past to be getting funding through grants and through other partner programs with different places that we work with. And last year, about 90% of our on-site classes were free to the schools, and we used grants to pay for that, which is really important. A lot of the school districts in the area are running low on funding and might not get field trip funding if we don't offer it for free.
This is, you know, more important than I realized in terms of providing a single point of contact for this kind of educational opportunity to schools all over Southern California. 15,000 students, that's amazing.
Yeah, we're pretty fortunate to be able to reach that many students with such a small facility and a small staff, we really try to do as much as we can.
Is there a need, do you think, for more, a larger facility or more aquariums, wherever they might be located? Is there a need for more aquariums?
Oh, I don't think it would hurt anything to have more educational spaces for people to come learn or for students to learn. I think that would definitely help out. The more people that we get educated about the ocean and about the environment, the more wonder we can inspire, then the more people that are willing to take those extra steps to help protect it and conserve it for the future.
Right.
More aquariums, more planetariums, all that stuff is good.
Very,
definitely.
Very cool. So, of course, we, Jackie and I, and many of the people that might be listening, aren't familiar with the range of species that you have and so forth. So let's just talk about the aquarium itself. How many tanks are there, and what are the different species that you highlight at the aquarium?
The last time we counted, we had, I think, over 100 different species of marine life in the aquarium. Now we're counting big and small, so it's not 100 different kinds of fish, but all those little invertebrates count too. Those are all really important. So in our touch tanks, we have a lot of things like sea stars, sea cucumbers, sea urchins, snails of different kinds that you can really get a hands-on experience with and touch. In some of our larger tanks, some of my favorite animals are our wolf eels. We got them when they were teeny tiny little babies. They actually came in the mail from another aquarium whose wolf eels had babies. And so for the last maybe 8 years, we've been raising these little wolf eels. They're not little anymore. It's sort of like watching your kids grow up. They're not little wolf eels. They're not little babies anymore. But they're some of my favorites because they're pretty unique. In our area, you would find them very, very deep down, so you would normally not be able to see them or interact with them. So that's something that, to me, is special to have where people can see them and see some of the different kinds of creatures that live in the ocean. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have the Garibaldi, which is our state marine fish, that bright orange guy, as well as three different species of sharks. We have horn sharks, swell sharks, and leopard sharks, and those play a really important role in our teaching programs because a lot of students do grow up with a fear of sharks, so it's nice to be able to show them some of these smaller sharks that are completely harmless and show them that every animal in the ocean is an important part of the ecosystem. We don't need to be afraid of them. You know, we want to help take care of them and just learn more about them, and once you learn more about something, you're much less likely to be fearful of it.
Right. That's so important. I agree. Wow, this is really extensive. I want to make sure that people are aware of all of the things that you do, and of course, you do parties at the Roundhouse as well, right?
We do. We have birthday parties. You can pick between a shark theme and a dolphin theme. They're pretty fun. The birthday kid can get dressed up as either a shark or a dolphin, whichever theme they pick. We do hands-on interactions with our live animals. And, of course, the birthday boy or girl gets to kiss the sea cucumber for good luck. I'm not sure if you know this, but if you kiss a sea cucumber, you get 7 years of good luck. So a very important part of the birthday party.
I didn't know this. Okay. Are you open this weekend?
Next time. We are. Next time you come in, you can just ask, and we'll be happy to let you kiss the sea cucumber for good luck. You got to make sure you take a picture, of course. That's a very important part of it.
All right. I normally wait. I normally pop into the Roundhouse during the summer months, you know, but I'm going to make an exception, and I'm going to go in probably this weekend so I can kiss.
Definitely.
Yes.
Now, do sea stars?
You got to put that on the bucket list, Joe.
All right.
Is that on the bucket list? Kiss the sea cucumber? I've never... It's a pretty unique one. I'm doing it.
When we talk about the touch tank, do sea stars and these other creatures, do they like being touched and held?
So sea stars don't really have a brain. Mm-hmm. So they can't really like or dislike something. That's more of a, you know, a higher up mammal type feeling.
Yeah.
So basically, it would be, is it safe for them? Yes, it's safe for them to be touched. And we try and take care, make sure that people are following the rules, touching gently with one finger. That's not going to bother them. If we have people come in and start yanking on them, that's going to make them a little bit less happy.
Right.
But as long as everybody is being gentle, it's no problem. The reason that those types of animals are the types that you find in the touch tank is because they're lifestyle makes them particularly hardy. They're the animals that you would find in the tide pools, and the tide pools is just an extremely tough environment to live in because sometimes you're underwater, sometimes you're in the sun, sometimes huge waves are pounding down on you.
Right.
So it makes you pretty sturdy. So a little 5-year-old's not going to do too much damage once you've been pounded on by those big waves.
Right. Okay. So it's only the toughest the survivors are in the touch tank.
Exactly.
That's great.
Do you go out, Valerie? Do you go out into our local tide pools and gather the specimens sometimes?
Sometimes we do. We have our collecting permit through the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and so we're able to go out and collect certain animals as we need them. So sometimes we will go into the local tide pools and collect them. Obviously, if you are just someone at home, we do not recommend taking home a sea star and trying to keep it in your bathtub. That's not going to be good for it. You know, you have to have the special training to be an aquarist and the special permits to gather them from the local tide pool. So if somebody else is just visiting the tide pool, we recommend looking and touching if you'd like, but leaving everything where you found it.
Oh, all right.
Now, you used a word I hadn't heard before. Aquarist? Aquarist?
An aquarist, yes.
Aquarist.
It's funny because we type this word a lot because it's an important part of our work, but Word doesn't think it's a word either. It keeps trying to spell check me. But aquarist. It's a very important part of running an aquarium. That's the person who takes care of all the animals and the fish and makes sure the tanks are running smoothly. Anyone that's owned a fish tank at home knows it's actually quite a bit of effort to keep everything alive. Just making sure that the water is clean and the right temperature, especially, is really important for our animals, that they're all at the right temperature. So it's a more than full-time job that we don't even have a full-time employee dedicated to. So we do the best we can with the small staff that we have.
So you're in need of a new aquarist.
Well, our aquarist is wonderful. It's just that with such a small staff, we all have to split our time. So our wonderful aquarist is also a wonderful educator.
Yeah.
So part of the time he's teaching classes and part of the time he's caring for the animals. And then we have a couple part-time people that are helping him out while he's teaching the classes so that somebody's trying to look after the animals.
I see.
Everybody has to wear different hats. And speaking of that,
yes.
I noted in the intro, Valerie, that you are also the grant writer for the Roundhouse.
Yes, that's one of my most important jobs because without those grants, we can't have those kids on their free field trips. And that's, like I said, one of our most important things that we do. Last year, through our grant-funded classes, about 25% of the students who came on a grant-funded class had never seen the ocean before. And these aren't kids from, you know, Montana. These are kids from as close as Lawndale, just 5 miles away from us, had
right.
never seen the beach before. So it's amazing.
We've heard this story time and time again, and it still blows me away that kids as close as Lawndale have never seen the ocean. It is very, very disturbing. And the Beach Boys were born in Hawthorne, or grew up in Hawthorne.
Yeah.
You know, they obviously made an effort during, you know, high school or whatever to get to the beach, and they spent a lot of time at the ocean, but it's not true of all kids, and we need to get more kids out there so that they can see how big the world is, really.
Yeah. Lawndale is right next to Hawthorne. That's amazing.
It is, yeah.
And by the way, grant writers are in very, very high demand for grant writers. Very high demand, yeah.
What's the landscape out there among grants for aquariums? Are you getting a good response from, you know, a lot of different organizations? Are there a lot of different organizations that are popping up that are supporting aquariums?
It sort of depends on what you're looking for. A lot of places want to support education. Unfortunately, that's one of the things that we do, so it's a little bit easier to find funding for those field trips, but it's a little bit harder to find funding for some of our other programs, for example, our volunteer program, which is a really important program. It's a lot harder to find funding for that, and it's harder to find funding for what funders call general operation support, because it's not as exciting as telling them, oh, all these kids are going to come to the beach for the first time. That makes people pretty excited. When you say people are going to come in and they're going to get to see fish that are still alive because you've spent money on letting us get an aquarist-themed supplies, they're like, meh, not as interesting as kids coming to the beach. So it sort of depends on what you want the funding for. So we rely a lot on donations from the South Bay community, both in our donation jar at the front door and then people who donate via our website and other things like that. Those are the donations we really rely on to run the day-to-day operations of the aquarium to stay open to the public without having to charge an entrance fee. We really appreciate all the support from the South Bay residents and visitors.
I see. Right on the website, donate with PayPal. Very easy.
Yes, very important. And tax deductible, too.
And what is that website?
It's roundhouseaquarium.org.
Roundhouseaquarium.org. So there can't be another Roundhouse Aquarium. We've got the best
there
URL.
There can't be.
No. We've got the best. We have some great URLs here in the South Bay.
Joe, I know you get so excited about them.
I do.
Yeah. He's a tech head, Val.
Man.
Yeah, and now as I meant, we were talking before the show, and I mentioned that there are several fundraisers for the Roundhouse during the year, right? Local fundraisers.
Yes, our big event is our Roundhouse Run for the Oceans,
right.
And it's going to be our fourth annual this year, and that's coming up on May 14th. We actually have a super early bird price right now. If people are interested, there is more information there on our website. It's a 5K timed beach run or walk if you're not a runner like me. And we're really fortunate that local community businesses step up and donate things so that we have some amazing prizes for the first through third place finishers in each division. And we also have a raffle at the end, so if you're not really into running but you still want to support us, you can come out and buy some raffle tickets and win some of these fabulous prizes. And that super early bird registration is going to end on March 15th, so definitely want to jump on that to get the early bird pricing.
Yeah, and I doesn't like Zislas and the Strand House do a special dinner or something once a year for the Roundhouse?
We have done that in the past. It's not always an annual event.
Oh, okay.
We sometimes work with them to do that. We actually have some funding in right now to hire a new development person that's going to be helping out with these fundraisers. It's amazing how much time and effort goes into it for just one day of fun. So we have someone that's going to be coming on board to help us out with things like that. So hopefully with her expertise, we'll be able to do even more fundraisers throughout the year.
Yeah, the fundraising is a big part of it, big part of it.
Yeah, and it does take a lot of work. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. This is a very fascinating discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the South Bay Show, and we're talking with Roundhouse. We're talking about the Roundhouse Aquarium with Valerie Hill, the Administrative Director and Education Specialist at the Roundhouse Aquarium in Manhattan Beach. And it's a great discussion, but if there's a question or a comment that you'd like to make, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. So, Valerie, tell us about some of the upcoming events that people can attend, maybe even fundraisers that they could attend. What's coming up with the Roundhouse?
Sure. Well, we have a couple events that are weekly events that you can come to each and every weekend. On Saturdays, we have our shark feeding, and that is at 12:30 on Saturdays. We feed the animals in that large shark tank, and you can get to see some of the ones that are usually hiding come out to the front. Some things like our moray eels, our sheephead, sometimes those are hard to spot in the tank. So that's a great time to come and watch them actually swimming about looking for food.
That's
on Sunday.
12:30 p.m.?
Yes, 12:30, just after human lunchtime, we give the sharks lunch.
Okay, on Saturday.
Yes, and then on Sundays, we have our free sea story time. That's at 11:30 a.m., where kids can come in, listen to a story, an ocean-themed story, and then do an ocean-themed craft to take home. So those are a couple of our free weekly events. We also have, it feels like summer outside now, but it's actually only February, but we have summer camp signups we just started as well. So summer camp for us starts on July 5th, and there's 7 weeks of camp from 9 a.m. to noon. They're for ages 4 to 10 years old, and it's a really, really fun time. We're very unique in our location there at the end of the pier, so the campers get to do things inside the aquarium as well as outside on the beach. My favorite day is pressure day. We get to shoot off a lemon cannon. We do make our own rockets. We do Coke explosions. And the sort of the fun part about summer camp is it's so fun, but the kids are actually learning something and don't even realize it because it's just so much fun.
Where do we sign up?
You can find on our website as well. If you go to roundhouseaquarium.org, you can click on camps, and it will take you to the place to find out all the information about what we'll be doing each week. There are a lot more fun things. I just particularly like pressure day for some reason. That's my favorite day.
Hey, Valerie, it's your thing, and it's good. It's
yes.
your thing.
Yes. That's wonderful. Is that a bottle of Coke and a Mentos?
It might be.
Okay.
Yes, it's actually Diet Coke. Don't try it with regular Coke. It won't work. Yes,
okay.
Diet Coke. And this year we're trying to make it, we're trying to work some stuff out where we can make it go even higher and farther than in the past years. So,
hey, you know something? I don't even want to know why it has to be Diet Coke, all right? I'm hearing chemical storm all over that. Okay. Wow. Won't work with regular Coke. Okay.
Yeah, right.
All right.
That's funny.
Don't explain that to me.
So those are some of our upcoming things. And then, of course, that Roundhouse Run for the Oceans on May 14th, that is our big annual fundraiser. And that's a fun time as well. We will have some of our touch tank animals out there that day as well so that we can incorporate some education into the running. And it is time, so it is for serious runners, but it's also for families. If you're not interested in running as fast as you can, it is still a family event as well.
And it's my birthday.
Oh,
maybe
fantastic.
I'll remember that. That's easy to remember.
Yeah.
Is that a Saturday?
It is. It's Saturday morning, 9:30 a.m. We don't like to get going too early, and we're trying to work with the tide a little bit. So 9:30 a.m., the tide will be going out. So that people can run there in the wet sand. It's a little bit easier on the joints there in the wet sand.
Yeah, yeah. My birthday's on a Saturday this year. Uh-oh.
Party!
Okay, I have to ask you about something that's been in the news a couple of times recently. I don't know anything about this, but these poisonous sea snakes... Have you heard about that in the news recently, Valerie? There have been a couple that have washed up on shore that the news people are saying these are not things you normally see in the oceans here?
Yes, I have seen, I don't know too much about snakes. I'm not a big reptile person, but I have seen that come up in the news, and it's definitely true. We're actually finding quite a few things in our area these days that you don't normally see. The water's been a little bit warmer, We actually have in our shark tank right now some triggerfish. Triggerfish you don't normally find in our area, and we found them off of Redondo Beach. So this warmer water is bringing in all sorts of things that we don't normally have in our area, and some of them are doing well and thriving, and it's a little bit interesting. And some of them, you know, maybe you don't want to have washing up things that are poisonous, and obviously if they're washing up, they're not doing great themselves. So it has been a very unique year, I'd say, with some of the animals that we're finding that shouldn't necessarily be up here.
Right.
Okay, if we start running into manatees, then we know something's very wrong, right?
Something has gone very awry if we see a manatee out there.
Yeah. Wow.
Did you
see the sea snakes on the news, Joe?
I did not, but all I had to do was Google sea snake Manhattan Beach, and you'll see quite a few articles about them. And even
mm-hmm.
some video. The yellow-bellied sea snake.
And now, Valerie, you call it a reptile, but it lives in the ocean?
Right. There are several kinds of marine reptiles. Sea turtles are another example. So, you know, we've actually had a couple of sea turtles in our area recently as well, which is becoming more common, but it's another thing that used to be a little bit more uncommon probably with the warming waters. But since they're reptiles, they do have to come up, breathe air, just like a mammal, like a dolphin would. They have to come up and breathe air. They lay eggs on the beach, so that's another way you know you're looking at a reptile there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I haven't seen any sea turtles. That's interesting.
Yes, I haven't either. They like to come on the days that I'm off teaching or doing something else. So if you ever want to see something interesting at the aquarium, you go on the days that I'm not there.
Okay.
So Tuesdays and Thursdays are usually great days to find interesting things because I'm not there and everybody else gets to see them.
Oh, it's funny how that works out, huh?
Yes.
Joe, do you want me to do a little weekend guide stuff going on here?
Well, Jackie, we're having a great discussion, but what else is going on around town?
I'll tell you what's going on. There's quite a bit going on around town this weekend. The South Bay Music Association presents the annual Comedy Night and Silent Auction on Saturday, February 27th. That's tomorrow night, starting at 5:30 p.m. at the El Segundo Performing Arts Center. This is their biggest fundraiser, all right, for them, and it's going to be emceed by Paul Draper. The El Segundo High School Drumline will be playing, the Beach City Swing Band. They're going to have a couple of different comedy teams. The headliner is Dave Williamson, and he's an El Segundo resident. He was voted best comic in Miami and has performed with Jimmy Fallon, Louis Black, and more. There's going to be food available. Tickets to Comedy Night are $20 in advance, $25 at the door, and the comedy is rated PG-13. Another big event tomorrow night. The Torrance Cultural Arts Foundation presents Dancing with the South Bay Stars 5, Saturday, February 27th at 8 p.m. The event pairs local celebrities with professional dancers in the competition to raise funds for the foundation and the participants' nonprofit organization of choice. Everything I mentioned here, by the way, is on my website, southbaybyjackie.com, so all the links are there. You can find everything you need on my website. Gus Vintage Goods is going to host a modern embroidery pendant workshop on Saturday, February 27th from 1 to 3. Stacey Wong, founder of Community Making Workshops, will be heading it. It's for all skill levels and experience and includes all materials and supplies needed. Tickets are $35 for one person or $60 for two. Okay, and here's a new one. The first annual Garbage Ball Tournament will take place on the beach at Longfellow in Hermosa Beach on Saturday, February 27th, starting at noon. The rules are simple. Put the football in the can. You lose, you have to chug a beer. It's a 2x2 random draw tournament. $40 gets you entrance, all the beer you can drink, lunch, and a trophy if you win it. There's going to be 10 set up at Longfellow. So, Bring it.
Okay.
All right, the Garbage Ball Tournament. Barry Bly Productions presents the pre-Oscar Black and White Ball on Saturday, February 27th from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. at Big Door Studios in El Segundo. There's going to be some DJs, a Rat Pack-style performance by South Bay favorite, Lucio Benetti,
yes.
And a burlesque show by Miss Dakota. It's called the Black and White Ball, so it's safe to assume your attire should be black and or white and upscale. It's a ball. It's not a casual event.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets start at $50 and includes an open bar, all right? So that's going to be...
And it's like an Oscar-watching party?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
At Big Door Studios. Awesome.
Yeah, they'll have... It's pre-Oscar. It's pre-Oscar. It's the pre-Oscar Black and White Ball. Get dressed up.
Yeah.
Make like you're a movie star, you know? Buffalo Fire Department presents the South Bay Open Blues Jam on Sunday, February 28th, from noon to 4 p.m. It takes place last Sunday of every month, and local musicians are encouraged to sit in and enjoy great eats and drinks while listening to some rock and blues. And the best part, there's no cover charge. All right, that's at Buffalo Fire Department this Sunday. Terranea Resort, the signature restaurant Marseille, is going to be hosting an Oscar viewing party on Sunday, February 28th, beginning at 4 p.m., you get dressed up, enjoy a star-studded evening. There'll be champagne, special wine and cocktail offerings, and an Oscar ballot that will give a lucky guest an overnight stay at Terranea. And there's going to be a special prefixed four-course meal, theme craft cocktails, and the price for the whole thing for the four-course menu is $145 per person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at Terranea this Sunday for the Oscars. The Special Olympic South Bay host towns will have a red carpet screening of Keep the Dream Alive on Sunday, February 28th at the Hermosa Beach Community Center Theater. It's a mini reunion for all South Bay Special Olympics host town volunteers and friends. So if you were involved in that, you can go. They're going to be premiering a video of this song, Keep the Dream Alive, that is the musical score for the host towns that we just did last summer. Hey, Joe, did you hear that Smart and Final will be moving into the former Albertsons Hagen space on Pacific Coast Highway in Redondo Beach?
Yes.
You did it. Yeah, they're going to have a ribbon cutting on Tuesday, March 1st at noon. Everybody is invited to stop by and check out the new location. The city of Hermosa Beach is offering two CERT basic training classes during the month of March. All right, so
right.
Hermosa Beach, again, all that information is on my website. And one last thing, I told you that I went to Gary Sweeney's house last week for that, what he's doing with his house. 320 35th Street. The official tours were on Wednesdays in February. But basically, Gary said, truck is in front of the house. Come on in. He'll be happy to show you around. So it's just another couple of days. What's today, the 26th?
Right.
Yeah, so through the 29th, and then it's done. The house, the artwork will be taken down, and the house is going to be demolished. So if you haven't been by yet, stop by. A Manhattan Beach Memoir, 1945 to 2015. The Sweeney home is located at 320 35th Street in Manhattan Beach. So, yeah, so we have quite a bit going on this weekend.
Right. And, of course, that address, 320 35th Street, is burned into my brain because George Bailey
right.
and his wife live at 320 Sycamore.
That's right.
In Bedford
Falls. It's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. That's
it's
right.
A wonderful life. Bedford
Falls. Well, sounds like the Sweeneys had a wonderful life in that
they
house.
They did. They absolutely did. And,
yes.
His dad, Mike, what a great life he led, and what a great civic volunteer he was.
Yeah, well, he was on the city council for years. He was mayor three different times. He had Sweeney Hardware.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a great story. And as I said, if the truck is in the front yard, go on in.
Okay.
All right.
Valerie, you should go and see this. It's amazing.
I might have to check it out. I hadn't heard of it yet.
You hadn't?
No.
Yeah.
I sort of get in my roundhouse bubble there at the end of the pier and forget to look what else is going on around town.
Right, right. It's amazing. It's amazing. This Mike Sweeney had this hardware store. Sweeney Hardware Store was a fixture in the community. And his son is an artist, and he has taken the family photographs, blown them up, and put them on this laminated board or almost like plywood board, and put them all over the house so that you can see what basically Manhattan Beach was like throughout the years. And it's quite an exhibit.
It is. It's great. It's very unique. I love it.
Very.
Yeah. Wow. So just 3 more days to see that.
Looking forward to that. And we have, I think, would you say the Roundhouse is unique? I mean, you had said that you collaborated with other aquariums, but you didn't mention many other Roundhouses. Are there any other aquariums on the ends of piers in California?
There are some that are within the piers. I know Santa Barbara, their Sea Center is a pier-based one. I'm trying to remember the last time I was there, if it's out at the end. It's certainly not round, though.
No.
I think the Roundhouse itself is a very unique building and a very unique situation there at the end of the pier. You certainly can't beat the view. People are very jealous of my office. That's where I go to work every day.
And isn't there Two Guns Coffee in the building too?
Yes, the cafe out in front is Two Guns Coffee, and they're very nice to us as well. It's nice to be able to grab a little pick me up out front without having to really leave your office in the middle of the afternoon there.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's great. You take a stroll down the pier, you can stop, you can get an espresso or coffee or something, you can go into the aquarium and walk around, see all the exhibits, and you're at the end of the pier. You're over the water. It's great.
It's definitely a great destination for visitors that have never been to Manhattan Beach before and residents. We get, you know, repeat visitors every weekend, grandkids with their grandparents that come down for story time and things like that. It's good to feel such an important part of the community.
I have to ask you, Valerie. So when you're there on the weekends, and you were telling us about the shark feedings and the different events you hold weekly, do you see those future aquarists? Do you see them, the kid that comes back every weekend and is always asking all the pointed questions? Are you getting that?
We definitely do. We definitely get kids that come in every week, and every week they'll have a different question about a sea star or about one of the other animals, and you can tell they're really trying to learn more about it. They're going home, they're reading books, looking on the internet, trying to find out that the answer to the one question that they can't find out, and coming back. And we've been very fortunate, too. A lot of people that have started sort of as kids, as participants in our classes or in our summer camps, as they get older, they come back and become volunteers and stay really involved and interested. And then some of those actually come on to be staff members as well, if we have a place for them. And then some of them move on and become important staff members at other facilities around the world. Even we have one of our kids, I call him a kid, he's in his 20s now, but one of our kids that started out, you know, coming to classes and then as a volunteer, he actually works at the Manly Aquarium in Sydney, Australia. Mm. So we try and teach him and train him and send him out across the world to help educate people about the marine life and the environment.
And it all started right here at the end of Manhattan.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's exciting.
Now, you have a team, and we wanted to highlight the whole team. I don't know if you have a list of team members in front of you. Do you, Valerie?
I don't, but there are so few staff members that I think I can grab their names off the top of my head.
Well, who are the team members at the Roundhouse Aquarium?
So I'm one of the co-directors. The other co-director is Eric Martin. He has been there even longer than I have, and he is that person I was talking about that is in charge of being the head aquarist, but also has to teach classes and do other sort of random odd jobs. But he's a very important part of the facility. He's one of the only people that knows how all of the tanks work and how to keep everything in the aquarium alive and all the tanks running smoothly. And then we have Brittany, who's our volunteer and education coordinator. We have about 150-plus volunteers right now that she helps coordinate. Most of them are in high school, so they're getting not just you know, experience with marine life, but they're getting some life skill experience out of it as well. So she makes sure that's running smoothly, as well as helping coordinate our education programs.
That's Brittany Olais. How do you pronounce her last name?
Olais.
Olais. Brittany Olais.
You did a pretty good job.
Do these kids get some credit for school when they do stuff like that, when they volunteer?
A lot of them do, and many of our volunteers start out needing the school credit, and then they stay on for years after they've finished earning their credit because they find it such a valuable experience. So many of them do, and then keep coming back for more. And so, like I said before, once you're involved in the Roundhouse family, you sort of never want to leave. And then we have Dawn Martin. She's our administrator and our school liaison, which is a really important job. She's the one that talks to all the teachers, books all those classes, makes sure that they have funding, makes sure we get to the right place when we're doing our outreaches, that we show up at the right school on the right day at the right time.
Right.
So her job is really tough, and she's a little bit more behind the scenes, so not a lot of people, you know, come in and see her, but she's an extremely important part of running a successful education program as well. And then we have our part-time people that help us out on the weekends. Especially, we have Taylor, we have Tony, and then we have some people that come in to help with Aquarius thing. We have Cody and Marissa, you might see there. And then we have Terry as one of our other educators that you might see driving the van, the outreach van around town, or if you bring students in. So we have quite a few really great team members that have been there for a long time. I'm definitely not the only person that started as a volunteer. Cody, Marissa, Taylor, Tony, they all started as volunteers as well. So it's one of those things, like I said, it's like a little family and you don't want to leave.
Right.
And I imagine that you get to meet just about every family in the South Bay at one point or another, huh?
Hopefully. You'd be surprised. Every once in a while, somebody comes down and goes, I've lived here 30 years. I had no idea you were here. And I'm thinking, what were you doing? Come out. Come visit. So we do get to see quite a few people, especially with the education programs. We do hit every school in Manhattan Beach, and most of them in Redondo, El Segundo as well. So we get to know a lot of the kids and sort of watch them grow up over the years as well, those kids that come for classes and summer camps, and then you look and all of a sudden they're asking to be college interns, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, where did all this time go that you're already in college? Weren't you just 7? So it's crazy.
Oh, wow. But, that's great. That's great.
It's fantastic. And what's especially nice about, I know I'm a supporter of classical music, radio in Southern California, KUSC, and of course they really appreciate those ongoing regular monthly donations, and I see on the donate with PayPal you can donate monthly $10 or $15
yes.
$20 a month, and that those regular donations really help smooth out the valleys in the funding so that they have a known quantity of money coming in on a regular basis.
Yes, those are really important to help out. To know you have something you can rely on, like you're saying, in the months that maybe you don't have a big fundraising event, you want to make sure you can still pay those staff members, feed those fish, and teach those kids.
Yes. In that order, right?
Yes, definitely. I guess it depends who you ask. The sharks might put themselves higher up on the list.
They might. But they're sharks. They're allowed.
Yes.
They're a little egotistical, I imagine.
Sometimes. It depends on the day. Sometimes they'll let me pick them up and give them a kiss to show the kids that they're nothing to be afraid of. So on those days, they're pretty important, and they, you know, let me do what I want with them.
Wait,
so I can't be too bad at those little sharks.
Oh, wait. So now we have to kiss a shark, too?
No, that's not lucky.
okay.
That's not lucky. You got to kiss the sea cucumber for luck. And then the sharks, we don't typically let other people kiss the sharks.
Right.
I like to do it to prove to the kids that they're not just mindless biters, that they're sweet, gentle creatures, just like anything else on the earth if you treat it properly.
Now, speaking of sweet, gentle creatures, do you ever get to see whales right off there, right off the pier there?
We do. That's one of the best things about being at the end of the pier is you don't just get to see the stuff in the tanks. You get to see the stuff out in real life. And we have so many big mammals that live in our area. You know, we commonly get to see the gray whales during their migration season, but you can even see humpback whales from off the pier. We have a lot of other whales in our area. There's fin whales that live in the Santa Monica Bay, and there's even orca whales that come and visit Santa Monica Bay. I've never gotten to see one from the pier, but you can see them from just offshore when they're around.
Right.
Wow.
We've
so
seen,
you take your stroll down the pier, you stop at Two Guns and get a coffee, you visit the aquarium, you sit out there on right at the end of the pier, and who knows what you'll see. Creatures great and small.
That's right. That's right. This has been a wonderful visit, Valerie. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I've had a wonderful time talking to you guys as well.
We've learned a lot, and I just want to make sure, have we covered everything that you wanted to cover, or is there something else that you'd like to tell our audience about what the Roundhouse Aquarium does or what it really means to our community?
I think we got most everything. I just, you know, want to keep reiterating that we are a nonprofit, and so, you know, we're not owned by the city. We don't get funding from them. They just own that building and everything inside of it. We have to take care of ourselves and all our education programs. We take care of ourselves, and so we can't stress enough how much we appreciate everything that the community does to help us out, whether it's just sticking $5 in the little shark donation jar when you come to visit, or business owners donating prizes to our fun run, or, you know, corporations sponsoring a tank. We appreciate, you know, every support that we can get from the community, big and small.
Right, right.
And please give us all the contact information, your website, right, email address, phone numbers, where people can talk to somebody.
Definitely. So it's our phone number is 310-379-8117. We have our website, which is roundhouseaquarium.org. Our email is roundhouse.aquarium@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page. If you go on Facebook and look up Roundhouse Aquarium, you'll find us, and we post information about upcoming events there, as well as we try to get some education out through the Facebook as well, so you might get to learn some new fun facts. You can see photos of some of the cool animals that we can find off the pier and things like that on our Facebook as well.
Hmm. All right. So
very important.
The information is out there.
And of course, people know and often talk about the devastating deforestation in the Amazon that it has been occurring for many, many years and continues to occur as people continue to expand into the forest and down trees, and it is devastating to our planet's ecosystem. But trees only contribute 20% of the oxygen in our atmosphere. 80% of the oxygen in our atmosphere comes from plankton and sea plants.
Phytoplankton. That's right. I learned that today. I didn't know that.
And
I'm glad I got to teach you something new today. That's an important part of our job at the Roundhouse.
It's very important.
Well, there you go.
Well, thank you so much, Valerie. We had a great time.
Well, thank you. I had a wonderful time as well. I'd be happy to come back anytime you'll have me. It was fun talking to you guys this morning.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, this is our show for today, and we'll see you next week. Have a wonderful weekend. It's going to be nice this weekend, according to the weathermen, even though sometimes they lie. But thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.